The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tuberty with you. It is Wednesday morning, the 16th of December 2020. We're here till 10 o'clock. The text number is open and up and running, 51551. And you can email ryan@rte.ie if you like. What have we got for you today? Loads of places to go. And by all means, get stuck in and get involved. I watched last night, I haven't seen it for ages, and I thought, God, I know it so well. Do I have to watch it again, or can I, or should I? Which is, of course, Beauty and the Beast, strangely. The 1990 one version, I think. I went to see it in the cinema in Tala when I was in first year in college, and I thought, why am I going to see a cartoon? And I thought, well, because it's the cinema was massive, it was new, it was different, and up I went, and I remember being bowled over and thinking, oh, you can be older and like a cartoon, and a big fairy tale cartoon, and not be a complete lunatic. So I thought that was refreshing. It was kind of a cathartic moment for me personally, and in an educational sense, I thought this is magnificent. And then they made the live animation of it a few years ago, and that just was a dud, simple as that, didn't work. Poor old Emma Watson just didn't have a soul in it because she's a fine actor, no doubt about it. But the whoever was going to play Belle is a very significant Disney princess because she's gutsy, okay, fair enough, but also she's a reader. And it just didn't strike me that Emma got that, unfortunately, or the director didn't get it. Not, I don't want to blame anyone in particular. But the cartoon got it. Completely got it. Got the fact that Belle was just an amazing, smart reader who saw the beauty in everything. And then it gets a little confusing because ultimately, let's face it, she's in the castle and she falls in love with her captor. So now it's Stockholm Syndrome. And you think, right, she's not. Is she really in love with this guy, or is it because he's feeding her and minding her? And there's a candle talking to her and she kind of just fell in love with her surroundings and the books and so on. And then I get always confused at the end when ultimately she falls in love with the Beast and says, yes, it's you. And then he turns into a shampoo ad kind of model with them, that kind of crazy late 80s, 90s David Ginola hair. And you think, I often thought there's part of an ending of where he kind of goes, but it's me. And she goes, oh, no, I didn't really like you. It was the other guy. I like the Beast, kind of more into the Beast. So it gets a bit confusing towards the end. But nevertheless, that's not to take away from the magic of it, of which there is plenty. The songs, and also the other key element to Beauty and the Beast is it's under an hour and a half. Thank you, God. These 2 hour plus films are just too much for the modern adult mind. Anyway, Beauty and the Beast, worth a look and a revisit. The original one. That's my thought for the day. But that's not to say that I haven't watched It's a Wonderful Life this year, which we did, and it was beautiful. And I see Matt Haig, a former guest of ours here, tweeted the following about the film It's a Wonderful Life, just in case you haven't seen it. You need to see it. And it says, he says, if you've never seen It's a Wonderful Life, watch it. It's not schmaltzy, it's raw. It's very 2020. It has incredible power about the big importance of small lives, humans versus economies, about why we matter, about the difference a life can make, about why we should stay alive. And that's a beautiful tweet from Matt Haig. If Twitter was invented for nothing else, that tweet alone is enough. And about why we should stay alive. I made my eldest look up E17 the other day as we were listening to Christmas music. And I said, you should check out those boys now. They're something else. And sure enough, this is she had a good laugh at looking at the big coats. And they were of their time, but the song was great. I thought it was just a pop song. They'd banged a few bells on it and said, now it's Christmas. But nevertheless, it did a job for us. We all enjoy that. And I'm delighted that Liam Geraghty, who's a roving reporter for The Business on RTT Radio, also sent out a message which has been getting on my nerves for maybe 30 years or more. Booksellers, who I love at this stage, you know, especially independent booksellers particularly. But he says, booksellers that put stickers that don't come off easily on books should be put in the stocks. And there's great truth to that. There, he says, I've said it. The big sticker at the front, which you all, no one wants a big sticker on the front of their book, ever, for any reason. So if you just put them in the section and say what the message that's on the sticker can be on a sign, and the books remain sticker-free and therefore blemish-free, lovely. Or, like the mandarins, the satsumas, the clementines, just get easy peelers. It would make all our lives much easier if we could just easily peel away the sticker. That's it. Thank you. Now, Dave and Brace says, this is your Disney intervention team speaking. Oh, good morning. You have seriously overthought Beauty and the Beast. Please stand down and watch Shrek. Thank you. Dave, I brought up Shrek last night because Shrek really got it right in terms of it is easy being green. I mean, Kermit said differently, but ultimately Shrek and Fiona realised that they're better and happier as ogres than they would be as shampoo ads people and the so-called beautiful people. So yeah, you're right, Dave. I'll take up the point. As you make well make. Sean Fay was on to say, is on Twitter by saying, anyone who conceived a child the first week of lockdown is due next week. Doesn't that kind of make you think, what? As the march of time brings us to the baby boom of COVID-19. Amazing. And then very nicely, it's a whopper. The Burger King people put out an ad to say, as we head into tier three, this is in the UK obviously, across more parts of the country, it's clear independent restaurants need all our support. So we've decided to give you a break from our pictures of burgers and make our Instagram available to all these restaurants. It's quite a nice thing to do. Until they can reopen, they can advertise on our Instagram for free. I just thought that was nice, reaching out the hand of freedom. Now, I'm not sure what this... I'm having a look at it again. The Vatican, it's a place... architecturally, it's a stunning place of awe. Awesome. And according to reports, Jesus, Mary and Joseph don't normally appear alongside astronauts or indeed Darth Vader and Darth Vader-like figures. But the Vatican has upset a lot of Catholics by bringing them together in its latest nativity scene. And I'm looking at it here and I see, of course, the crib, as we know it, the classic crib. But they've added some class of figure, which it's a life-size ceramic figure of, I think, is it an astronaut? It is. The Catholic Herald said it's comically awful and called it the Vatican's embarrassing sci-fi creche. Such is the reaction to it. The author of the Catholic Hipster Handbook, which is in itself is something I need to read, praised the display, though. He said, you can't be like one reason Catholicism rules is because it's weird and then not love the Vatican nativity scene, especially the astronaut. Somebody else says, I don't know what I love more, the spaceman or the guy from the Star Wars cantina. I really want a small one for our home. You have a look at it, look it up. And if you're in the Vatican, for whatever reason, you're passing it by and you hear all the Christmas carols as you're passing by Jesus, Mary and Joseph, you might also just see whatever that weird science fiction thing is. And at that point, you'll hear the coming down from the Vatican, through the ox, through the crib, through the manger, and this is on Pope Francis' Spotify list, I'm sure of it, that particular piece of music, because it's clearly a sci-fi influenced crib. Yes, says John, to sticker-free books. John, it could be a dream that belongs in a pipe, but it's one that we can certainly endeavour to get moving on. Another says, Tony from E17 has just started to read books at 50 years of age and he loves it. He's a good guy. You could get him on to talk about it. That's a great suggestion. I think we'll have a look into that quite seriously. It'd be a very good suggestion. Thank you very much. Well, Bob wants to know, what is your view on bookmarks? Oh, I love bookmarks. I love them. And I like the Strand Bookshop in New York, one of my favourite shops in the world. They have complimentary bookmark on their counter and that's one of my favourites. It's just a picture of the shop. It reminds me of New York and that beautiful bookshop. So every time I go back to my page, I just see the Strand. Or I have many bookmarks, in fact, but I don't like ones that are gimmicky with, you know, bits of tassel on them even the ones you used to get on your school tour in Newgrange with the leather one with the bit of tassel at the end. It's a bit cumbersome. I just like it to be discreet and slim. And that'll do the job nicely. So yes to the bookmarks is in answer to your question. And meanwhile, Viv was on to say, I agree 100% about stickers that bookshops put on books that won't come off easily. A good way of stopping that would be to insist that they remove them before you pay for them. That would stop it pretty quickly. Yeah, but there's queues everywhere at the moment, so that might clog things up a little bit. One of the downsides of flying by plane in the upcoming future is the toilet, the airplane loo. And in China, they've issued guidelines for the country's airline industry, which it oversees. And they list out all the different things that you need to be careful of for PPE advises cabin crew on flights and things like that. medical mask, double layer, disposable medical gloves, all the things you'd expect. But then this is sent us, they went, what? It is recommended that cabin crew members wear disposable diapers, nappies, and avoid using the lavatories, barring special circumstances, to avoid infection risks. So they're saying, yes, you can work as cabin crew. Yes, the toilets will be working. No, you can't use them. Here's a packet of Pampers. Good luck with that. Imagine them serving you and saying, can I help you? And you're like, what was that pause for? You say, well, what do you think? I'm wearing a nappy. I mean, don't you know how these things work? Well, such advice may seem dramatic. It's no secret that lavatories can be the germiest place in an airplane. In August, a woman travelling from Italy to South Korea contracted coronavirus during her trip, and a visit to the bathroom, the only place where she didn't wear a mask, was named as the possible source of her infection. So there. I was watching Holby City last night, says a text. And in the background playing was Christa Berg's A Spaceman Came Travelling. It's great to hear it again. You see, it's one of those songs. I don't know what it means, what it's about, but we all know it. And on they go. Great news about, I just mentioned yesterday, the Late Late Show busking special. Loads of coverage of it today because we will have Bono and Imelda May and Shane McGowan on Friday night's Late Late Show. Danny O'Reilly, Roisin Oh, Declan O'Rourke, Lisa O'Neill, Steve Garrigan's there, John Sheehan, Hosier, Fury, and it's just going to be a lovely show for the Simon community, and I'm really happy about that all happening. So thanks. Glenn Hansard played a big role in making that happen, so we're grateful to him for all of that. Meanwhile, in Chicago, with just days to go before the All-Ireland final, union leaders have signalled their support for Mayo's bid to stop Dublin. Imagine that. City of Chicago, as the song says, is putting a massive light display on one of the city landmarks. The Chicago Federation of Labour have said, let's do it, using lights on different floors to spell out the message, Mayo for Sam. It's on a 41-storey building. It looks spectacular. I'm looking at the RTE.ae coverage of it here. And they said that there was a strong and vocal Irish contingent in the Chicago Labour movement. He pointed to a particular Mayo presence among heavy equipment operators, big lads, working in the city. That's exciting as we build up to that. Minister of State for the Office of Public Works, Mr. Patrick O'Donovan, said that the money that there was additional to the supports being provided to by the Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the government announcement that €3 million in extra funding for Dublin Zoo and Fota Wildlife Park in Cork is on the way. And that will be good news for all the Dr. Doolittles and Doolots around the place who talk to the animals on a daily basis for a living. €2 million to Dublin Zoo, €1 million to Fota Wildlife. Good news for the animals this morning. I hate it, says Gwen, when the beast turned into the handsome prince. If you fell for a beast, then it's a beast you want. Imagine being starving and treating yourself to a Big Mac and chips, and you drive out of the hatch only to find a steak and potato dauphinot in the bag. I'd be raging. What about the caveat, you bought it as you saw it? I'd be like an animal, says Gwen. A beast of another sort, no doubt. You describe it beautifully and have put considerable thought into it. And as have I, because sometimes a film isn't just a film. It's a talking point and something that makes you think about the whole world a lot. And it's all about the animals again today, because after nearly a decade of lawsuits, we're going to France now, just east of Bordeaux, people are being ordered to drain the pond on their property because the noise of the frogs every day and every night. It's a cacophony that one neighbour claimed reached up to 63 decibels as measured from his house. And environmental groups have argued that the pond's removal would harm at least 6 protected frog species in France. But until they're just going to have to drain it, and they're going to have to say goodbye to the frog. In fact, if you pass by that pond, you can hear them every time. They're there again. Like Lumiere, after a few scoops, that's what happens when you pass a particular pond in Bordeaux. Ray Dunn has been on. Regarding bookmarks and labels, removal is so easy. Apply heat from a hairdryer for a short period, which loosens the glue and they peel off so easily. A logical and lateral thinking solution. Thank you, Mr. Spock. That is exactly what the world needed. Get the hairdryers out, lads. We'll be sticker free in no time at all. It's 9:19. We're open for business. I lied again. Yeah, I knew every single word of that and I enjoyed every minute of it. That's... Paul McCartney and Pipes of Peace at 9:22. I like that a lot. All right. I see Maya Dunphy tweeting. She said, there seems to be a disproportionate number of people dismissing the concerns of others at the moment. I've cancelled the only two festive meetups I had planned this year, as I simply don't feel it's worth the risk when I'm spending Christmas with my parents. One person was lovely about it. The other rolled their eyes, telling me not to be so paranoid. I'm not paranoid. I'm sensible, she says. Regardless of whether or not you think someone is being overly cautious, just accept it and move on. I won't, she adds, be rushing to meet the eye roller in the new year. Well, that is a very interesting tweet on the basis that I think that so many people have similar situations, that there are people in their social circles, some of whom are going, nah, come on, it'll be fine, you know, socially distant. The others are going, actually, I love my dad, I love my mum, I don't want to harm them in any way possible. So the key to her point is tolerance. We have to be tolerant of other people's decisions. Say, I'm not going to pub, restaurant, whatever it might be, because I don't want to risk anything. You just have to say, totally get it. Shouldn't be around. And that'll be my feeling about it anyway, to be honest, quite honest with you. I wonder if It's a Wonderful Life, as the text was remade and updated, would it have the same impact as the original, which is a classic? I would say straight out, no. Is it just me, says Ross, or is Phantom of the Opera just a grown-up version of Beauty and the Beast? Oh, we could be here all day. Can they not invent self-sanitizing toilets on airplanes? There's talk of it. In fact, in that very article, I didn't choose to read that bit, but apparently that's very much it. Showed the video to Pipes of Peace to my kids the other day, says Niamh. Good morning, Niamh. And they were fascinated. Started a whole conversation about World War One and history, etc. Another reason to love McCartney. Yeah, you and me both. And his new album coming out, very excited about it. But yes, and that is the video where it was No Man's Land when they came out and played football. And that's a great idea to show kids that video, because it is an interesting one. He plays both the British soldier and the German soldier in it. So why not? Why not? There is, says a text from, I think it's Tony in Dublin. There's about the swamp in the pond with the frogs. There's an unemployed man in America who claims he's good at draining swamps and he might be able to help the lads in Bordeaux. Yeah, that's good. We'll take that. The unemployed man in America is still knocking around, but let's give celebrating Ireland's Christmas experience. We'll give Tony an old, like an old joke, Kiehl's products. They're very popular for the fellas. Everything you need to keep you looking rested for the big day, for Christmas Day. Tony, have that. That's good. I like what you did there. That's funny. Keep them coming. Okay, we have guests we'll bring to you after this. Text says, some libraries insist on putting the barcode on the back of books so you can't read the blurb. How do you know what the book is about? Yes, barcode people, please be slightly conscious of that, because that can be a little bit of a head wreck. Anne Flanagan says, we got beautiful memorial card, bookmarks rather, when my dad died, as we are indeed all avid readers. That's a lovely thing to do, and a nice memory every time you open the book, the bookmark's there and you see your dad. That's really very sweet.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Forgot how good that song from McCartney is. Yes, of course, well said, Rob. Added to Spotify list of classics. Happy Christmas to you. If they drain the pond, the frogs might croak it. They might. And the frogs might go and play in an All-Ireland final in, you know, the rest. Spot on with that tweet. I am beginning to feel like Johnny Nomates, says Jean. Refusing to meet pals who seem to be meeting up with the proverbial world and his wife. Some people are just marching on and they don't mind. That's what it is. And some people are just being careful with it. I think there is a middle way, to be honest with you. I think you can do both. You can still meet people. There are guidelines to do it. Just do it smartly, if you can. But that's what it is. No point in telling you what to do. It's not my bag or inclination. Maeve and Claire says, we got married with 40 guests a few years ago. We are as married now as somebody who had 200 guests. And we'd have the same guests if we were to do it again. Small is best. We got to talk to everyone. People would realise that you don't need the big circus to say, I do, says Maeve and Claire. And Mary in Kilkenny says, that couple are lucky to be getting married, and best of luck to them. Our daughter and partner, a new baby, had to cancel twice this year as they're in New Zealand. They don't want to bring their little baby Indy to isolate in a hotel for 2 weeks and return to Auckland. Bring on 2021. Well, imagine the weddings in 2021, like the pints of Guinness and like those big meals that you've been mentioning, and like those, most importantly, those hugs. Everything is going to taste, feel and look better than ever before. So if we can just keep the faith and keep the strength, the good times are coming. Gosh, we had a lovely conversation with Elle Gordon yesterday, and a lot of lovely comment in about her and how beautifully she spoke about her father. And we got an email, not unrelated to that, saying we buried our mam on Monday. And I just felt the need to contact you after I listened to Elle speaking about her dad, and you asked what a funeral was like during COVID. And my heart went out to Elle when she had to bury her dad with so few family members around her, as in April, it was only 10 allowed to attend. And this morning, I feel so lucky that our mam could have 25 of us there to celebrate her 92 years here on this earth. For me, mam's funeral was the most beautiful few hours ever. Mam was a very private lady, so I'm not quite sure that the big event would have been her style. So what she got was the most intimate, loving affair where we could all just make it all about her dear family and her faith, which were the two most important things to her in her life. Her love for music would have been the next best thing, I suppose. It was also a perfect fit, as the number 25 got to include her children, her grandchildren, and more importantly, her two sisters. And Mam had often sat in the church with me and rated the singer, and I'd hear her whisper in my ear, "She didn't really hit that note now, did she?" Well, Mam got her singer, and we knew that as soon as we stepped into the church, at the communion, you could hear a pin drop when a singer stood up and sang, "Oh, Holy Night." I'll leave you with those little thoughts, Ryan, and I think Mam picked her time for the funeral she wanted for herself. I could go on and tell you how beautiful the graveside was when the sun came out and the 25 of us stood together, but we'll leave that for another day. We then all went our separate ways in our small family bubbles, knowing that Mam had the perfect day. What a lovely consideration and reflection on what could have been a much darker occasion, but one that you took all the good things from. And I think that's a very sweet, kind thing. And we're thinking of you and your mom and your family this morning. We'll take some music. Bill Withers at 11 minutes to 10. Jesus, Ryan, says he's Evie and Mayo. What are you doing to me? Everything you've done this morning has made me cry. The songs, the interviews. No, we have done nothing to make you cry. The pandemic is making you cry. This year is making you cry. The whole country wants to cry. And you know what? It's the healthiest thing in the world to do. So cry on. Cry on. Galway listener says, "Lean on me." Beautiful, beautiful, inspirational song. Has me buzzing and waltzing around the kitchen, singing out loud. Where else would you want to be? Good knows. And Kathy was on, "Just tried the hairdryer on my Christmas present to get rid of the labels. It's a great idea and worked a treat." Well, fair play to the listener who suggested it in the first place. Yeah, why not welcome Big Kate Mila-Falsha to our new daughter-in-law, Sarah from Wisconsin. And she's currently back in Dublin. And she or her son, Brian, had a small wedding here in August before Sarah had to return to the US until her visa was sorted. So they've been together for the last 2 weeks from Mary and Mike Cronin. Isn't that lovely? It's great to see that there's romance in the middle of all the crazy. All right, we're going to say goodbye to you for now. But remember that we're here till the 23rd of December. So we're still knocking around, and you can email us anytime you wish with thoughts or reflections on what's happening in your world, or indeed ours, to ryan@rte.ie. We always love to hear from you. And again, thanks for all the lovely Christmas cards and letters that you've been sending in. And we're trying to get back to as many people as we can, and lovely ones from schools around the country about the toy show. Thank you. Got them all. Love them all. Stay tuned for Clare Byrne. Have a wonderful day.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.